Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. And as we do at 9:30 on Thursdays, we chat with ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. And Greg, good to have you back in the saddle with us, albeit I know you had a little bit of a break for a very good reason. Congratulations on the newest addition to your family.
Thank you so much. Yeah, she's great. Name's Iris. Born a couple weeks ago. Obviously, being a hockey writer, I'm already not sleeping, so that's good. I was able to kind of just get right into baby mode without having to adjust too much of my schedule. I have noticed, though, because my older daughter is 13, so this is a freshie, how much technology has changed from child to child. It's like when you buy a new car and all of a sudden you realize that like some of the fancy features are standardized, like the backup camera. Like, yeah. Now they've got, you know, stuff that makes formula and stuff that sanitizes the bottles and the whole thing. So I feel like I'm actually at an advantage now because I'm like a little bit old school in it, and now I can use tech to make this thing better.
Well, that must be helpful. And I laughed at your tweet about training her early to be a Devils fan, but you wouldn't subject her to Jets fandom. So that's already a good decision by you.
Yeah, that's a curse my father bestowed upon me that I still have problems with being a Jets fan. But no, she's got a collection of Devils onesies. I'm sure that since she's like a New York native, that there's a chance she might show up in a Rangers jersey one day to rebel against her dad. But gonna have to deal with that when it comes to it.
So the All-Star break is here, and but the trade season is starting to pick up too. The trade winds were a blowing yesterday. Elias Lindholm, one of the top players that was on the board, is now off the board as the Canucks acquire him. Pretty big trade for Vancouver, and I think Calgary gets a lot coming back.
Yeah, no, we graded out the trade this morning on ESPN.com, and I actually had Calgary slightly ahead of Vancouver in the return. I mean, I gave them an A. I gave Vancouver an A-. And in terms of Lindholm, he's a real last piece of the puzzle kind of guy for the Canucks. I mean, he does a lot of the things that they've needed help with. Right-handed face-off guy, and he's good at it. He can help on their penalty kill, which is very middle of the road. He can help on their power play. I think he's a straight rental given what their cap situation is next year. But you ask a box that hadn't been checked for Vancouver, and there hadn't been many because they've been real good. I think he checks a lot of them. But Calgary did pretty good for themselves in getting the return. I mean, obviously that first rounder is going to be basically like a high second rounder given how good Vancouver is. But the prospects they got back, I think, have some upside. One of them looks like he might track to hit 100 points in junior hockey this year as a defenseman, which is pretty remarkable. And Kuzmenko is pretty good. I mean, if he can recapture the magic of last season and maybe have a mutually beneficial chemistry relationship with Jonathan Huberdeau, maybe they can have him as sort of a reclamation project and really come away with this trade with something special.
Predators GM Barry Trotz was on our afternoon show yesterday, and you know Barry's pretty candid when it comes to things with his hockey team, and was talking about trades and kind of where his team is at. And you know, he's over the last few weeks has said that it hadn't really picked up, but then he said he's been on the phone quite a bit talking to other GMs. Do you think this is the first domino to fall, and now after the All-Star break we're going to see more trades, or do you think that GMs will still be a little timid because of the salary cap and kind of waiting for it to expand in the offseason?
So there's two ways to look at that. First of all, it should rip the Band-Aid off because there are certainly teams that were in on Lindholm that will turn their attention to, say, Sean Monahan from Montreal and maybe a couple of other places, and try to jump on those trades early before those guys come off the board too. So I do think that Lindholm domino falling is an important one to really kind of get the trade market going. But trade market, you look at these trade boards that we're all putting together, all of us who track these things, and it's not exactly a bunch of all-star players available at this trade deadline. I'm not sure how much real action we're going to see. I mean, obviously there's some really interesting defensemen like Chris Tanev from Calgary and a few others that are there. But as far as like help up front and players in that Lindholm class, there aren't a lot. So I'm intrigued to see how much action we do get for teams that are looking for help up front. But not a surprise to hear Barry say that. Obviously the Preds kind of are exhausted. They're like that runner at the end of a marathon, sucking wind through the finish line. as we get to the All-Star break with how they played recently. So not a surprise he might be looking to shake things up.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, a little NHL with him.
Greg, the All-Star game this weekend, you know, a lot of people like, the All-Star game, nobody cares. I mean, is it still relevant? I watch it. It's a lot of fun. I don't know where all this hate comes from.
I don't either. And the NHL is famous for kind of getting bored with their format pretty quickly. And so yet again, we have a new one this year. Going back to the fantasy draft format they had several years ago. And the whole vibe this weekend, I actually just got into Toronto about an hour ago. The whole vibe this weekend is to kind of like put it in the hands of the players and let them have the event that they want to have. So, you know, Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers was consulted on how to redo the skills competition. He's not a guy that was necessarily a big fan of some of the goofier stuff that they were doing, like the dunk tanks last year in Florida. He wanted to kind of bring it back to hockey skills. So we'll see what that does to kind of engage the players better. And then, you know, the players are going to be in the spotlight on this draft that they're doing tonight and at the game on Saturday, where you have two players from certain teams co-captaining their squads and selecting their teammates or not selecting them to add a little bit of drama. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I always like when they have a new format, and if nothing else, it's going to put a fresh coat of paint on this thing.
Yeah, that was my question. I know you're a hockey writer, but you're first and foremost, you're a hockey fan. What excites you about seeing the All-Star weekend, everything that goes along with it?
That's just it. I mean, like to go back to your previous question, like I've always been a huge All-Star fan. Like I'm a geek for it. I love the skills competition. I like the skills competition more than the All-Star game, to be honest with you, because the All-Star game, even with the 3-on-3 to make it a little bit more competitive so these guys can't, you know, hide in the corner hungover like they used to in the 5-on-5, because it definitely happened more than a few times in the old format. It's still a facsimile of what you see during the regular season and overtime. It's not really, you know, lightning paced or anything like that. But the skills competition, there's no hiding. Like, you either have a hard shot or you don't. You could either put the puck through the cones or you can't. And also, that's a real loosey-goosey event. You know, I still think about moments that we've had recently where, like, Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin are sitting next to each other on the boards watching all these youngins do the skills competition and, like, commenting on it like they're the two old guys in the Muppet Show. Like, it's great. Like, those little moments are the things that you love when you see these guys out of their element. And the skills competition in particular, I think, really lends itself to that.
I know a lot of the guys like to bring back home the Nashville Predators. You had said you'd pick them to make the postseason. So I guess you're not shocked where they're sitting right now as they head into the All-Star break.
I'm not shocked. I wish they were maybe a little bit more consistent. I don't like to see them limp into the break like they have. But, you know, I was talking to a GM the other day about the Western Conference, and, you know, the big story there, obviously, is the fact that the LA Kings, despite the recent success, unfortunately, for Nashville, have come back to the pack a little bit. And, you know, I had a GM tell me that it's changed the math for a lot of these teams at the trade deadline, because they didn't expect there to be two wild card spots open. They expected there to be one wild card spot open based on how good everybody in the Pacific was. So, you know, if nothing else, it's been a good development for Nashville that now all of a sudden, instead of one spot, they're jockeying maybe for two, with the concession that the Central Division top three is probably out of reach. So, you know, for them, for Seattle, for the Blues, for everybody else that's kind of on the bubble right now, it's certainly going to be a really interesting last couple months.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, and, you know, I mentioned Barry Trotz yesterday. He was asked about UC Saros and if he would, you know, deal him if the right offer came along. He said he's not necessarily available, but he is listening, and he would have to be blown away, which was kind of his stance last year. What would be the price in your mind for the Predators to part with their starting goaltender, knowing that they have Askarov waiting in the wings?
Not only that, but knowing that the market for that kind of goalie is so limited. I mean, especially with Connor Hellebuck re-signing in Winnipeg, he was the guy that a lot of people said, my goodness, if he was available, what would happen? You still might have John Gibson in Anaheim who could be a long-term solution for somebody, but I like Saros a hell of a lot more than I like Gibson. So, you know, it's not only simply just like his age and everything else, it's that the market is so limited for the kind of goalie that he is. So it would be an absolute blockbuster coming back to Nashville if they were to pull the trigger on a Saros trade. And I'm sure that Barry knows that, and that's one of the reasons why it hasn't happened yet, is he knows what the asking price is. He knows what he could get back, and he knows that there are going to be some teams that, you know, look at LA, look at the Devils, like look at these teams that are stacked in every other category except their goaltending. And at the end of the day, it's their goaltending that subverts them. There's a lot of teams like that out there that might be willing to really overpay when push comes to shove, if Saros is indeed available.
Well, it's going to be an interesting few weeks, that is for sure, to see what Trotz and the Predators do. Enjoy Toronto and the All-Star festivities, and we'll talk next week.
I shall. Thanks a lot, boys.
Greg Wyshynski joining us from ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet, joins us every Thursday at 9:30, and always appreciate that. Cool event that is always in our city that is coming up here very, very soon. We'll tell you more about that. The Father-Son Bowl. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.